Good, thank you for your gracious sowing into the kingdom of God. There's serious feedback behind me, gents. I'm sure you can hear it, and I know you'll be able to do something about it. I'm not sure what's picking it up. The mic's off. Okay. This is going south quickly. I'll stand still. So it's not that kind of meeting. There we go. Right, great to have you here. Again, we've started a new sermon series. Should I drop this mouthpiece and use the handheld? Okay, no worries. I'm cool. It's actually my fault because I've got this new thing now. People have been asking us to build something in front. Mozzie, we need to build something for you to move around. So I've sort of just come off there and just be down here. So obviously the dynamics of the sound has changed, so we apologize for that. I apologize to the guys at the back. We started a new sermon series called God's House of Prayer, and I'm really, really sorry for you if you missed out last week, but you're going to have to catch up and listen to it. But to recap, we're going to do a sermon series called God's House of Prayer. We did a practical demonstration of what it might have been like when Jesus overturned the tables, amongst other things. In future weeks, we're going to look at biblical truths about prayer, fallacies and misconceptions about prayer, Jesus' model prayer from Matthew chapter 6, personal and practical implementation for daily prayer, specific types of prayer, hindrances to effective prayer, and personal versus corporate prayer. We looked at the two main objectives in Christianity, in a nutshell, summarizing and paraphrasing, and that is, who can tell me? I want to see you listened last week. The two main objectives in Christianity, somebody who was here last week, speak to me. Come on, swear. Javis net here. I thought he's got an answer. He said it's simple, simple. Isn't the whole message between Genesis and Maps about loving God and loving people? Remember? Anybody? Did anybody remember anything from last week? Hallelujah. And the way to achieve that, the most effective way to do that, is through prayer. We also wrapped ourselves in the knuckles and looked at the amount of empty seats, and we said, we wonder why it was so. We also asked the question, how different would our personal lives be? How different would the church be? How different would the world be if we actually prayed like Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6? Jammer om jou wakker te hou, Nathan. Jy gaan nou weer energie kry as jy van die Here hoor. Hallelujah. I can pick on them because they're young and tough. They can take it. We looked at how different that would be. And it's about how this house, God calls his house a house of prayer. We looked at the times where Jesus was angry. He was angry because of the hardness of people's hearts. And he was angry when he came to the temple where they were supposed to be celebrating and worshiping. And he found something very different. I haven't given this passage to the sound guys. It might come up. If not, just pay attention as the Spirit of God speaks to us this morning. Now the Passover, it's from the second chapter of the book of John from verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and money changers doing business. Just businessmen doing business. Jesus has no problem with people doing business. He went about doing his father's business. We see that in Luke 2 and verse 49. But the challenge was the location and the attitude of the people's hearts. Are you with me? In fact, the scripture says, do business until I come. Occupy until I come. Can I see a show of hands, the businessmen in the house this morning? You own and run your own business. Come on, here we go. That's scriptural. Jesus said, do business until I come. And the implication is, take territory. Take back what the devil has stolen from you, Mr. Marks. Take it back. It doesn't belong to him. Hard work pays off when you do it as unto the Lord. Can you say amen? So he says, do business until I come. Needless to say, I digress. He found them doing business. And when he made a whip of cords, I wonder what was going through Jesus' mind. He made a whip of cords. And he thought to himself, right. You want to play church. You want to be religious. Say all the right things. Do all the right things. Dress all the right way. But in your heart, you messed up. I'm going to show you what I think of you. And he made this whip of cords. And he gets this whip ready. And he lets loose with righteous indignation. Can you see the picture? He drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured out the changers, money, and overturned the tables. After we did a demonstration last week, some people said, Mozzie, we were disappointed in your sermon because we wanted you to turn the tables over. I just kicked them out of the way. But there were tables that he turned over. Turned over the tables and he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. And the focus of this introduction this morning is verse 17. And it says, then his disciples remembered. Everybody say, remembered. Let's try that again. By everybody, I mean everybody, please. Everybody say, remembered. The disciples remembered something that was spoken before. A prophetic psalm, a messianic psalm, uttered through the prophet David about the zeal of God in him for God's house consumed him. And they remembered, that's what we read in the Psalms. Now Jesus has fulfilled it. Yeah, in our midst, we've seen this come to pass, that prophecy about him. This has come to pass. Verse 17, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Another translation says, then the disciples remembered this prophecy. Passion. Everybody say, passion. Say it passionately. Passion. Come on, man. Show me some passion, man. Show me some passion. Passion for your house has consumed me. Jesus was passionate about his father's house. He was passionate about what was in God's heart and God's purpose for what the house was meant to be. It wasn't a place where you come to, ons gaan kerk toe. We're now going to church and we dress up in our Sunday best. We rock up there in our fancy cars and it's all bling bling and it's lekker. And in our hearts we're thinking about, yes, I can't wait to be on the beach in Balito. Julle lag, it is so. That story about the guy says, he gets queried about why he's fishing. And the dominee or the religious oak says to him, you know what, you're here on your fishing boat when you could be in church. And the guy says, you know what, I'd rather be here on my fishing boat thinking about Jesus, sitting in a dead church thinking about fishing. Folks, I wonder what it would be like if we turned this Real Life Ministries, this wonderful building that we've been blessed with, this awesome property, and the long servitude next to it, which is also ours. Ooh. Imagine if it became a house of prayer. I want to submit something to you this morning, church, and we're family here, okay? Okay, some of you feel you're family. For those of you who don't, I love you. You might not feel the same way, but we're family. And family, we can be real with each other. Ons kan reguit praat. Kan ons nie wikkies. If you miff with me, you can tell me, Uncle Moz, ek gaan jou paint afklap. You can talk straight with me. So I want to talk straight with you as family this morning. Is that okay? Is that okay? Right. So, there's this thing in Christian circles. And then I'm going to repent and I'm going to ask forgiveness as the pastor of this church. There's this thing that we have where people stay away from church when they're sick. And I'm like, but God, I don't see that in the Bible. I see men and women of God that were so on fire for God and so filled with the Holy Spirit that they didn't stay away from Christian fellowship when they're sick. They ran towards it because they knew they can come for prayer and they're going to be healed. I hope wheels are turning in your head now. No, but we do church differently. We've got transferable sicknesses and diseases, and we can't come to this place because we're going to make each other sick. Well, what about the power of God? What about the presence of God? What about the same miracle-working God of the Bible that raised the dead and healed the sick, got blind eyes to open, deaf ears to open, caused the lame to walk? Is that God not here? Maybe it's because we've made this a den of thieves in our own way, that we've got all our stuff, we've got all our bling, we've got our routine, we've got our rituals, we've got the announcements, we've got our three songs, we've got the sermon, we've got our hellos, our goodbyes, and we go home unchanged. Because there's the absence of the presence of God here. Imagine if this place could be a house of prayer where it's so awesome, the presence of God, that friends will rip open the thatching of this roof to get their friend down so that he could be healed by the healer. And you see, but I come to church in the morning and I'm thinking about, yes, you know, if the meetings don't finish too long, then I can, at least I can get on my bicycle, I can go on a spin afterwards, or I can get on my dirt bike. And it's fine to think that. It's okay. I'm speaking for myself here. But maybe it's because we come to church and inside of our hearts, our minds are perhaps in a different place other than where God would want them to be. So as the pastor of this church, I ask you, church, would you forgive me, please? Because everything rises and falls on leadership. And when God starts to fix things and makes things right, he doesn't start sweeping at the bottom of the staircase. He starts at the top. And I ask you to forgive me for not being a greater man of prayer, a pastor of prayer, for not praying for you guys as much as I could and as much as I should. Instead, I'm thinking about, where am I going to ride my bicycle today? Where am I going to ride my dirt bike this week? How well am I going to shoot at this week's shooting competition? I think about these things where I could be praying for you guys and for Jesus' church. And perhaps that's why the presence of God is lacking here. Perhaps that's why people don't feel confident to come to church. I asked somebody and they said, well, maybe it's because they just don't have faith that they're going to be healed when they come. Straight. I love it when people like that are around me. I don't want to surround them. I've been accused of appointing leadership because so that I can manipulate them and tell them what to do, and they won't stand up to me. I've been accused of that before, but you know what? The devil is the devil. He can come with accusations. I like surrounding myself with people that disagree with me from time to time. Ek soek nie ja broers rondom my that agree with everything I say because I'm the pastor. It's a dangerous place to be. You need people that can speak into your life. And I love it when people like that, they told me straight, I said, you stay away when you've got an illness. Why don't you come to church and we'll pray and God will heal you? He says, maybe there's no expectation and faith that people can be healed. Wow. So, would you forgive me this morning, family? Would you help me in my journey with the Lord as to become a man of prayer? To be known as, I've had this desire in my heart for the longest time. We spoke about it from time to time. And people remember people that pass on in a different way. And I've asked my wife, listen, when I graduate to be with Jesus, don't put me in the ground. Don't put a tombstone there or an epitaph or anything like that. And it's a way of grieving. I understand that. To each his own. But I said, I want to live my life in such a way that when I die, the only phrase or the only slogan or the only thing that people would want to put on my tombstone is man of God. That's it. Not my name, not my birth date, not my death date. Man of God. Folks, there's only one way any of us can get to that place, is first becoming a person of prayer. And this sermon series is about God's house of prayer. So we go to a place where, amongst other things, we must pray and wait on the Lord. But what about your body being a house of prayer? Owen, imagine that. Imagine that you're so excited about God, you think about God so much that God prays through you, the Holy Spirit prays through you. And when you walk around, my boy, on the playground, wherever you are, whatever sport you do, the other kids are going to wonder, like, there's something, this Owen dude is just different. And they don't know what it is. No, because there's a living God that lives inside of him. Because this young man has chosen to take his body. By the way, if you're a follower, not a believer, because even the demons believe. If you're a follower of Jesus, you do know that your body is not yours, right? Some of you are, what? It's my body, I do with what I want. No, you can't. The scripture says it's a temple of the Holy Spirit not a dustbin for your trash. I'll leave that for another sermon series. Anders te gaan ek kwaad raak met mense hierso. It's not a dustbin for your trash. So imagine if your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. If your body becomes your personal house of prayer. Imagine how effective you'll be, Darren, when you make bags for people and you send them out and you make bags and think, there's something about this Mr. Elwood. He's just, what is it? Shouldn't we be at that place? I don't know about you, but I long to be there. I long to be there. I long to be at the place where our worship services are. Now listen, as you know, Diane, I'm very quiet and withdrawn, and I don't like to speak to people. And I'm afraid of crowds and stuff like that. But imagine being at a place where I don't even have to prepare a sermon. We're all so hungry for God, we just get there. And the God of the heavens and earth, God lays on the worship leader's heart a prophetic song, a new song. And there's no words because they don't know what God's going to sing through them. And we just start worshiping the Lord. And no man needs to get up and preach. And God just does his thing as he gives one person a word of wisdom, another person a word of knowledge, another person a prophecy, another person an encouragement, another person a prophetic song, another person the gift of healing. And the church does what the church is always meant to be, where each member is a minister. Instead of expecting so-and-so up there to come and give me your best this week, Pastor. Imagine if church could be like the book of Acts. I don't know about you. I want that. I'm tired of hearing my sermons. I'm tired of hearing my sermons. I'd like the utterances of God to come and change people's lives. Where God moves. Revival has been described as this. When God gets so fed up of being misrepresented that he pitches up and does it himself. How's that one, Ed? How many times, how many people, how many churches are there we've been misrepresented by all this false doctrine, false teaching? And we think, yeah, Mozzie, sefer Allah. What about us? What about the times I've met misrepresented Jesus with a microphone in my hand? How does God fix this? When we come in humility before the Father, say, Lord, let's pray. Let's pray. So, there's going to be counseling issues in the future. I know that. People are going to come for counseling. And years ago, my mentor at the time, you know who he is, Coonrod, continue to pray for the brother. My mentor at the time, I'd come and I'd throw my toys out of the cot. And usually it would be because me in my self-righteousness, Mozzie's Holy Trinity, me, myself, and I think, Lord, this woman you gave me, when's she going to get with the program, man? And I was so blinded by the huge planks in my eye, I couldn't see straight to try and pick out the tiny little specks that weren't even in her eye. And I'd go to my mentor and say, right, most of the time I'd go with complaints about my marriage that was busy failing because my wife is the jerk. Meantime, I was the royal jerk. And he'd listen to me, and the more I throw my toys at a cot and rant and rave, eventually he'd just get this little smirk on his face and say, so, Moz, how's your prayer life? Suddenly the counseling session came to an end because I was too busy brumming and moaning and complaining and murmuring and finding fault and nitpicking to see that this is a Proverbs 31 woman gift of God, second to none. And if I just humble myself in the sight of God and pray and seek his face, he will help me right. And he just asked me that question, how's your prayer life? And I realized, well, and I couldn't come up with an answer. Well, you know, I did this and I did. No, tell me the specifics about your prayer life. And because I couldn't give him the specifics of my prayer life, he knew straight away, I don't have a prayer life. I'm not rushing somewhere just whisper something quickly or say something because I was choosing to let my deadlines interrupt with God's timeline. How many of you remember that from last week? Huh? I was letting my deadlines interrupt God's timeline. I didn't have a prayer life and I was messed up. So when somebody comes to you, my encouragement is they got counseling. Just ask them, so what? Tell me about your prayer life. Tell me about your prayer life. We also said last week, this is just the introduction, by the way. I haven't even got to this today's message. Relax, some of you are getting nervous. Relax. Everybody needs somebody sometime, and the scripture says that there's safety and wisdom in the multitude of counselors. I get that. But you see, when I was studying for my degree, there was one whole year of that, I think the tenure was 3 years or whatever, one entire year that was spent on the traditional type of counseling. The traditional type of counseling that makes counselors richer and richer and richer and counselees poorer and poorer and poorer, and they never walk in lasting victory. I'm going to tell you what kind of counseling that is. That's where the counselor, there's an expectancy upon him or her to get the answers from God, and the counselee comes and says, this is wrong and that's wrong, and please help me. No, what, no? Give me my remedy. Give me my answer. Give me my scriptures. Give me my solutions. Give me plan A, B, C. Give me the steps I've got to follow. Just give it to me and I'm going to go out. And then they go and try. It doesn't work. It works for a while. Then they find themselves in a mess again. Then they've got to go back to the counselor, and that cycle is continuous. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? And then I learned there's a godly way. There's a biblical way of actually doing this thing. And the biblical way is that your counselor facilitates and prays with you to get to the counselor, whose name is Jesus. The doctor, the specialist, the psychologist, the psychiatrist, the whatever. So the counselor's responsibility, listen, I don't have your answers. I can't fix you, Eugene. But you know what? I know the one who can. Together, let's pray together and seek God's face. And together, we're going to find Jesus' solution for your context. Through prayer. Through prayer. Through prayer. Through prayer. Through prayer. Remember we spoke about the bracelets. Push. Pray until something happens. Yeah, but Mozzie, I've been praying. How long must I pray for? I know exactly how long you must pray for. You want to know? Till your breakthrough comes. Till your answer comes. The zeal of God has consumed me deep in my soul. A flaming fire that keeps burning. It's a fire that cannot be quenched. Cha, cha, cha. Whoa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The zeal of God has consumed me deep in my soul. Jesus was like that. He was consumed with passion for God's house. Why? Why? Mark 1 and verse 45. Luke 4 and verse 42. I think it's Mark 1:45 or Mark 1:35. Correct me if I'm wrong. Long story short. While the people were still sleeping, it was dark. A long while, even before the birds had woken up, Jesus got up. And he went and he made time to spend with his dad. Long time. That's why. By the time Jesus' feet hit the streets, he'd already seen and heard from the Father. You see, he didn't dare go into battle before he'd got a battle strategy. He didn't dare go into battle, I'm speaking metaphorically, before he had the armor of God on him, because he is God. I mean, you know, what about us? And I'm doing my thing today. God, I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know a few scriptures. I spent no time in prayer. And then the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God, where are you, God? And God, while you were still recovering from the night before, getting over your freaking bubble loss, God is like, where are you? Where are you? Where were you? No, but Lord, where are you when I need you? No, but God is like, where were you? When you could have been seeking my face. Because God knows when, how the devil is going to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he wants you to be prepared. But are you prepared to be prepared by God for when the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy? 24 minutes. Should we go on? All right, let's get to today's message. All right, we ended off speaking about the kind of hearts that we need to have for our prayers to be effective. We looked at the fact that if our hearts aren't broken with the things that break God's hearts, we're going to pray amiss. We're going to pray selfishly. I'll prove it to you from the Bible. Not because I know how to pray, but because God says none of us know how to pray. That's what the Bible says. So what does that mean, Lord? Well, what does it mean to pray amiss? We closed off by sharing this statement with each other. It's from broken and repentant hearts like these that the purest and holiest of intercession flows as the Holy Spirit prays through us. And we said we're not going to speak about praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. That's for another time. But having the right heart so that God can pray through us. So this week, what does it mean when we pray amiss? It's this. When we pray with motives in our hearts that are not in harmony with the motives of God's heart. Did you get that? We pray with motives in our hearts that's not in harmony with the motives of God's heart. Because His ways are actually better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And contrary to what a lot of us think, He actually does know better than us. Contrary to what a lot of people speak, there is no such thing as this God-forsaken country. Hoeveel van julle boerseuns het dit al geëiter? This God-forsaken country. Don't raise your hands. There's no such place like that. There's only people who have forsaken the God of this country. Candace, that's true, eh? There's a difference. There's no such thing as a God-forsaken country. There's people in that country that have forsaken the God of all countries. So, we've got to have the motives of God's heart for us to have powerful, effective prayer. How many of you are sick and tired of praying and not having your prayers answered? Oh, so all of you have your prayers answered all the time, eh? Spiritual bunch of prayer warriors, yella. Wow. I'm impressed. I think I should just, well, you guys that have your prayers being answered, please come up and take the mic from me and continue. Anybody? Oh. So there are some of you that are tired of having your prayers not answered. Just checking. Phew, I thought I'm the only one. Yeah. Eh? And I realized that when my prayers are seemingly not answered, Moz, it's perhaps because the motives of my heart are wrong. And I justify it like this. I'm going to give you a funny example. So I go to my wife and I say, Angel, do you love me? She says, what do you want? What do you want now? I said, well, you know, nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement, right? Yeah. I mean, that sounds all spiritual and scriptural. Meantime, it's just covetousness in my heart. It's just my greed for the next best thing. I'm being real, yeah. So I say, you love me, right? Yeah. And you want me to be healthy and safe. Yeah. That's why, because of that, mountain biking is a very, very dangerous thing. And I need the new latest and greatest with all the bells and whistles because it will make it safer for me. You don't want me breaking bones and cracking my skull open when I'm going in the mountains where mountain goats fear to tread, don't you? No. So I try and justify the newer, better bicycle that I think I need by coming to her with these things. And I pray, Lord, you'll give me the desires of my heart if I delight myself in you. Yeah, but your desires are selfish, son. I mean, you're hardly using the one you got now enough. You can't even ride that bicycle to the best of its capabilities because you're not a world champion. And world champion's on your old model bicycle and you want another one. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying this morning? Or is it only me that has these issues? Church, please speak to me this morning. Come on, man. So I come to God with these selfish motives and I wonder, my prayers just like aren't being answered yet. It's like, because the motive of my heart is messed up for bay. So for our prayers to be effective, I've got to come before God and say, Lord, this is what I think, this is what I'd like. But Dad, what do you have to say about it? What a difference. So it's fine. The scripture says in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, pray unceasing, don't be anxious for anything, come to God with all forms of prayers and requests, with supplications and thanksgiving. We're going to get into a deep study into all of that, what all of that means, okay? And make your requests known to God. So it is okay, it's okay to come to God with requests, okay? We often get that. Those of you that have made the time to get to a care group in the care group, sometimes in the beginning, sometimes at the end, they get everybody's prayer requests, they put it on a list, and they lay it before the Lord, and they pray through it. It's okay to have those prayer requests. It's okay to come with ideas and thoughts about what we'd like God to change in our lives. Are you with me? Have you settled that? It's okay to do that. However, what would it be like in our gatherings and our prayer requests and our fellowships in the care groups, instead of coming with ons gebedslysies, our prayer lists, and sometimes it's a shopping list, instead of coming with our prayer requests, going before God and saying, Lord, you're wonderful. I enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. That's the key to get into the place where your glory dwells, with thanksgiving, not brumming and complaining and frustration and da, 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 da. I come into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, Lord. Lord, you're good. You're faithful. Lord, what's on your heart for today? Jesus, you live forever to make intercession for us. What are you and God praying about today? Lord, by your Spirit, would you lead us in prayer as we wait on you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then we wait for the Holy Spirit to make intercession through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. Imagine when we let the Holy Spirit pray through us. Do you think that you're going to see a change in your life? Do you think you're going to see mountains move? Do you think you're going to see the impossible? When we let God pray through us? That's what it means when we pray amiss. Where do we get this from? Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. I'm going to start to land this thing. It's 10:30 already. You know what? I'll leave you with this thought this morning. Rather leave the people wanting more instead of feeling they had enough. Ja, daar is stem saam. Ek is moeg gepreek, maar as jy stop net nou. It's when we pray and ask God for things that He does not want for our lives. Wow. We ask God for things that He doesn't want for our lives. Ezekiel 14 and verse 4. And therefore speak to them. This is God telling the prophet. Go and tell these people. This is the situation here, guys. I see your sacrifice. I see everything you're doing. But this is how it really is. Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, everyone of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols. So let's just see the order here quickly. Everyone already comes with their preconceived ideas. This is what I want from God. I don't care about his opinion. It's what I want that's most important. I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what His Word says. I don't care what's on His heart. This is what I want and that's it. This is when I want God to give it to me, and I usually want it yesterday, and this is how I want Him to deliver it. Is it making sense to anybody? That's what this scripture is describing. This is what I want. I don't care what you think about it, God. Because you're not here. You up there somewhere. You don't know what I'm going through, Jesus. You just can't know. Why isn't it already here? I wanted it yesterday, Lord. Why isn't it here? And when you do answer, you better make sure that it comes like this, or else I'm not going to be happy. Okay, God, did you get that? That's a level of disrespect that we have for the big man upstairs. He's the Ancient of Days, man. And that's what the prophet had to deal with in this day. An easier translation. Tell them. Can you imagine the prophet? God says, he whispers to the prophet, tell them this from me. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The people of Israel have set up idols in their hearts and fallen into sin. And they go to a prophet asking for a message. So I, the Lord, will give them the kind of answer their great idolatry deserves. So what God is saying is, okay, Remember, we've said before, there's two kinds of people in this world. Those say, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in my life. And those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. Go ahead and do your thing. So he answers them according, because he knows the condition of your heart better than you do. He knows what you really want, regardless of the Christianese that you speak. He knows what's really, really, really going on in your heart. But here's the good news. If I don't give you this good news this morning, if it's only a rap on the knuckles, then the message hasn't been from God. The good news is that he really, really knows how you really, really are, Peter. And you know what? He really, really loves who you really, really are. Hey, man. That's good news. That's good news, eh? He knows how messed up I am, how messed up we are, and yet he still loves me. That just messes with my head. He really, really knows who we really, really are, and he really, really loves who we really, really are. There's a song like that, isn't there? Tell me what you want, I'll never win her anymore. I need to get my head out of the gutter here. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. It's like, we should reverse that prayer. We should reverse that song. Lord, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. Lord, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want you, we want, because you wouldn't in there. Okay. Yeah, I should. Okay, that wasn't even funny. Eh? That's like next level weird. James 4 and verse 3, and I'm done. And then you know what we're going to do? Last week we done a prophetic action. How cool was that? Should we kick some chairs out of the way again? Some of you are like, oh, no, Mozzie, because we had to pack it straight afterwards. But Colette says I was traumatizing people. No, but we just need to get real with God and just have some prophetic action here. Man, you really missed out. I'm sorry for you, but I know what was important to you was important to you. So James 4 and verse 3, even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. And you want only what will give you pleasure. But that's for people in other churches. I know in this church, people are hungry and thirsty for the things of God. So we're going to have a time of ministry and prayer with each other this morning. Deep End. Are you list to minister to us this morning again? If you're listeners of me, we're going to ask that you minister to us in song. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I want to ask this morning, the first time visitors are here, I think we've only got two. If you're at a place in your life where you know, I don't have a prayer life, but I'd like one. If that's you, we're going to pray for you this morning. And then, if there's anybody this morning afterwards, if you need to leave, you can leave. You want to minister to folks that specifically have ailments in your body, sicknesses, diseases, aches, pains, cramps, headaches, whatever. Jesus just wants to reach out his hand and touch you. Remember, I cannot heal anybody. I can't even fix my own bad attitude. So we're going to just lay hands on people and pray with them and ask the care group leaders and their spouses to come join us and just pray for folks here this morning as we just spend time just giving God an opportunity to heal bodies. But before we get there, if you've been challenged this morning by the Spirit of God and you need a turnaround in your prayer life and you want God to help you pray and be led by the Spirit of God in your prayers, then all of us as we stand together, the whole congregation, let's pray with each other for that specifically. Ask the Deep End to come up and just lead us in a time of gentle, contemplative worship in the background that we can at least hear each other here when we're praying for each other. We'd appreciate that. So, where's Diane? Diane's gone. Wanted her to actually stand proxy. We want to just pray for Leonard as well. Leonard has got some health challenges. He's laying in Midvale Private Hospital. We're just going to trust God to reach out his hand and just touch his body where he is. Did we share the testimony from the Clarence Ministry trip where we prayed for a guy in hospital and afterwards, they gave us feedback as to what happened to him. Did we share it here? Not. Okay, it's fine. We just want to stand you to stand proxy for Leonard. when we prayed mm-hmm. and trust God, that just reaches out his hand and just touches your hubby and gives him divine health that's promised to him in God's word. Okay. Before we pray for each other's physical well-being, let's just pray for each other for this thing, this theme, this topic of God's house of prayer. And you want your life to change as far as your prayer life is concerned. If that is you, you don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are. As the Spirit of God leads this morning, we just want to pray for each other concerning that. Lord, we love you and we bless you and we adore you and worship you. There truly is no other God like you that moves on behalf of his people. And your Spirit moves through this place this morning and touches every heart and every life. We hunger and thirst for the things of God, and we want to be more like Jesus, Lord. We want to be doers of the word, doers of the work, and not only hearers of the word this morning. And you see our hearts, Lord. We want to be intercessors like you. Jesus, we remind ourselves in the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews, in the 25th verse, it says that you, Jesus, you live forever to make intercession for us to God. We wonder what it is that you'd pray for, Jesus, and we want to be like that. Now you personalize this prayer and you say, Lord, I want to repent of praying selfishly. I want to repent of having idols set up in my heart. I want to repent of having my own preconceived ideas of what to pray, how to pray, when to pray. Lord, I want you to change my mind completely. Give me a whole new paradigm shift of what it means to be led by your Spirit in prayer. Lord, would you teach me to pray? Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. God, I ask that you supernaturally quicken and bring to remembrance your word from the Bible. Give me chapter and verse, Lord, and if I don't remember that, give me the words that I can pray your word into the situations that I face, that I can pray your word into my life. I thank you, Lord, that as from now, I'm going to become a different prayer warrior. Instead of being somebody who worries and prays, I'm going to become a prayer warrior that is led by the Spirit of God as I pray and usher in the things of God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm going to see the impossible happen. I'm going to see and experience mountains move. I'm going to see your hand move, because your word says, Lord, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, Lord, as you cleanse me and wash me and make me new all over again in terms of my prayer life, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm going to have a supernatural, God-given hunger and a desire to be a prayerful person that learns to pray without ceasing. This morning, Lord, I pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray to you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe these things will be done for me. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for coming. If you're going to leave, please leave as quietly as possible. Those who want to remain, please remain and pray with us in the Spirit while people come up for prayer. If you've got aches and pains in your body, illnesses, or you want to stand proxy for someone, please come forward. This is probably the most significant time of ministry that's going to take place here in front. So if you need to go, go with the love and grace and presence of God. Just do so quietly. And we like to call people forward to that have aches and pains in your body, and God's going to just heal some people this morning in Jesus' name. The ladies, I ask the care group leaders and their spouses, ladies with ladies, gents with gents, please just come forward just straight away. Bless you. Thank you, guys. Bless you.